Sorry about that. Welcome aboard, everyone, and I hope you all are doing well this evening. We are going to be talking about how to identify fakes, trolls, props, propaganda agents, opposition, blah, 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 the Russian troll, so to speak. The people that are out there playing games, doing their best to influence opinion for or against something, and who may not be operating under honorable conditions, or may be pretending to be something that they're not, and consequently fooling a lot of people, wrapping a lot of people up in a lot of nonsense. And of course, I'm sure you've seen this kind of stuff. And I think probably when we start talking about all this, we're going to find out that most people kind of already know this stuff, right? Let me take those glasses off and get the glare out of your eyes there. Most people, I think, kind of recognize these things inherently or instinctively when they are watching, listening, reading, and you see various little tricks and things that you recognize as being a good indicator that you're being strung along. As I've mentioned in the last show or two, I've spent some time here lately on a lot of large Facebook groups, a lot of them ostensibly supporting Bernie Sanders, or at least that's what's in the name. And some of the content that I see in these groups is kind of mind-boggling. Some of it is just transparently nonsense. People that are just obviously trying to undermine things. And I want to make clear right at the outset, I talk about this in a context of like Bernie Sanders support groups, because that's where I am. This isn't about endorsing Bernie Sanders or opposing your candidate if you are supporting somebody different. What this is about is understanding how to see BS when you see it, how to recognize it when you see it, how to respond to it, and how to deal with it in a way that can shut it down and kind of make things effective and put an end to the distortions and the things that go on. So one of the first tricks and of the trade, so to speak, that I see used on a regular basis is it goes like this. I've been a Bernie supporter for many, many years, but I just saw this article that, and of course the article is a hit piece from, Breitbart or somebody like that, and can you verify that this is true? How do I debunk this? Now, one of the problems with this particular technique is some people are legitimate and honest about that, but you can usually tell, because if you start looking at something and you're seeing this and blah, 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 and oh, well, is this true? And your first thought is nobody could possibly believe that this is true. Chances are you're being strung. Chances are the purpose of this message is not anything about trying to find help or trying to find interpretation. The purpose of the message is to get you to review that content and to plant that seed in your head of doubt or questioning your position. Right? So let's just say, for instance, let's take it completely out of the political realm. Let's take it to guitars. Okay, let's take it to guitars. So let's say I'm on a Gibson guitar forum, and I'm a big Gibson fan, and so I'm reading about my Gibson guitars, and I see a message that says, I've played Gibson guitars for 15 years and I really love them, but this video from this little company that says that Gibson is pushing them around and so on and so forth really concerns me. Okay, at that point, you're probably not talking to a real Gibson guitar fan. You're probably really talking to somebody who is working on behalf of, whether they know it or not, the company that is you know, portraying themselves as being under attack by Gibson, right? The idea is not to engage a conversation or to get a back and forth going about whether it's legitimate or not. The idea is just to get the information in the air, right? They just want that stench around the name. They just want that doubt sown around that brand identity, so that they can come in and make you question your own loyalties. And it's that Cialdini thing again, right? Liking, oh, you like Gibson guitars? I like Gibson guitars. Hey, maybe I'll be interested in this. Oh, hey, this person who likes Gibson guitars thinks that they're junk, or they thinks that they have declining quality, or has found some scam. Maybe I should stop liking Gibson guitars. Right? I see this constantly right now, especially, again, especially in these political groups that are intended to be sort of, you know, biased towards one candidate. And you will just, there's a constant flood. At this point, I'm saying 70 to 80% of the original messages that show up in these groups are bullshit. They're not there to actually support. What they're there is to sow doubt, make you question, to move you away, to sap your confidence in your beliefs and in your position. And it works. It works all the time. I watch it work, and it's sad that it works, but it does. And so, well, how do you push back against that? It's a situation-by-situation thing, but the number one thing is go ahead and treat it like it's legitimate and push back, right? Oh, here's this video of this, you know, whatever, you know, InfoWars says that Bernie Sanders is a secret stealth Klansman. Okay, well, we all know that's bullshit. We all know there's reasons why, and anybody who supports Sanders could go back and pull some things out of his record that speak to his, you know, his activity in the civil rights era, for instance, back in, you know, the 60s, or his long history of working against the ideals that are embodied by the Klan. And so you can shoot that down to defuse the situation and to sort of counteract that negative stench that is being put out into the air. And it's, again, it's a discretion thing. You know, some people are real obvious and you can call them out. You can say straightforward, you know, this really reads like you're a lot less interested in a conversation, a lot more interested in getting people to repeat this information, this bad information, and propagate it. Right. And I've done this myself a number of times. And as a general rule, the people who are fakes and the people who are playing games and trying to get something over, these will be the people who immediately react with a level of hostility that is completely inappropriate to the situation. Right. These are the people, they'll start throwing things out right away. I did a very, very short, just a couple minute live video on Facebook Live last night with a guy that had posted in a pro-Bernie group about, hey, in the Nevada primary, I think the great thing to do would be to, you know, cast your vote for Bernie and then write in Donald Trump as your second choice, which is absolute madness and stupidity, right? This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Because then what happens is the narrative in the media the day after the primary is not who won or who lost or why or what the relative merits of the candidates are or anything else. The dialogue, the narrative now becomes, oh, well, Bernie Sanders supporters and Donald Trump supporters are like this. And there is some delta between the two. I think both of those candidates appeal to certain segments of the population in common, particularly disenfranchised and impoverished white voters. are feeling particularly pinched by current situations. And so both Sanders and Trump are going to have a certain degree of appeal to those folks as an outsider candidate. But that delta is, you know, maybe whatever, 5-10% of the voting populace. And beyond that small sliver, of course, they're worlds apart, right? The things that Donald Trump stands for are completely opposite of the things that Bernie Sanders stands for. And with the exception of that small group of sort of single issue voters who are really just voting out of anger and frustration against the status quo, you're not going to find a whole lot of common ground there. There's not a great deal of reason why somebody who is going to enthusiastically support Bernie Sanders is also going to enthusiastically support Donald Trump. Okay. And all of this, I really don't even need to tell you this stuff, right? I think most people can recognize this stuff sort of instinctively, but most people aren't going to have, you know, the kind of formal training and vocabulary to be able to put together a sort of cogent rebuttal to it without having some tools in hand. And so that's what I'm trying to give you. The fake supporter is probably the most common thing that I'm seeing out there right now, with this kind of manipulation. But there are others. There are many others, and we're gonna talk more about those as the evening goes by. As you noticed at the top of the hour, I'm having a bit of issue with my technology today, so I. Honestly, if you know, if you throw me something in chat or something like that and I don't see it, please accept my apologies off the top. And these things will smooth out as we go on. I mean, this is only the second time I've done a live stream on YouTube in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, other than practicing my drums, and it's a whole different setup and it's different gear and everything else. And so we're gonna have some glitches, because as you can see, I don't have a whole media team sitting here minute by minute to monitor things and make sure that everything is going all right. I have to listen back to this stuff later in the day and figure out how it sounds. So another good example of spotting the fakes goes into exactly what I was just talking about, this guy last night, right? These are the people that'll come out, they'll say, oh, well, you know, they'll pretend to be a supporter of something and then give really, really bad advice to the other supporters of that something. Now, of course, with Sanders, we have this ongoing narrative that's, you know, it was BS to begin with. Okay, but this Bernie Bros thing, supposedly there's this cadre of aggressive, mostly young white men who are very pushy and very angry and blah, 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 and they'll use misogynist slurs, they'll use racist slurs, they'll use ableist slurs, they'll use ageist slurs against people. And again, the point there is absolutely not to support Bernie Sanders. The point is to validate that Bernie bro narrative, right? The point is to demonstrate or to prove that Bernie Sanders appeals to this kind of low class obnoxious jackass, and thereby discredit Sanders. And you see that happening. And the Sanders campaign actually came out for what is not the first time a few days ago. And just flat out said, look, these people aren't our supporters. We don't want them. If they're acting like that, they are not standing for our values. They are not promoting our values. They're not part of our team. And please don't take them as representing us. But in the world of 2020, when people only read headlines and crave confirmation bias more than they crave accurate information most of the time, you're going to get some of that stuff. And as soon as the headline hits, it's already a problem, you know? As soon as somebody can come up and say, oh, well, this happened, now you got to spend a bunch of energy saying, no, this didn't happen. This isn't the truth. And this, you know, I'm not going to go into this whole conversation again right now, but this is a very similar thing as the people who troll my Facebook page do, right? They make all these assertions, then I end up spending all my time on defense, and can't get anything done, right? And it's effective. That's the sad thing about it. I would like to think that I attract a smarter audience, frankly, but you know, there's a small group of folks that comes through. They're, you know, they have what they call churn on these Facebook pages, people coming and going. You know, somebody shows up and says, oh yeah, I remember, you know, this John Henry guy is a scammer. This John Henry guy is this and that. And I'll lose a couple of people. It's an effective tactic. That's the problem. And our job as thinking, intellectual beings, our job is to make it not work. Our job is to say, wait a minute, no, this is bullshit. I know this guy, or I know better than this, and this just isn't true, right? And unfortunately, we don't really always have the tools necessary to get that accomplished. I'm an idiot. I've got to move that blue box at my top, it's your top left, I guess. I forgot the YouTube Live badge was going to be right over that, but anyway, such is life. So again, on and on, you know, we're in the middle of this ongoing information war, which is a phrase I'm really afraid to use because I don't want to get associated with Alex Jones, for God's sakes, but that's what's happening. We, the American people, the American electorate, are under attack. We are being deliberately manipulated, deliberately misinformed by multiple parties, each of whom have their own agendas, right? The corporate ring of the Democratic Party wants their, you know, center right moderate candidate compromise to lead the day, and so that's where you hear a lot of the narratives about how Bernie Sanders is so radical and how universal health care can't work and so on and so forth. And then you've got the far left folks. And of course, that's all socialism, 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 which is a word that most of them manifestly don't understand anyway. You can start to piece this stuff out. And to stand up against it, right? It's important to recognize too that it's not always about the facts. I don't like that. I think it sucks. But the reality is, the emotional arguments move people. The arguments that appeal to people's egos and appeal to people's hearts, and perhaps even more importantly, appeal to people's need to present a social image of themselves as being good-hearted and charitable and so forth. All of this stuff gets played on, and it's sad. It's sad that we've come to this. It's sad that we have all this technology in our hands and all these tools at hand to push back against this stuff. And we don't use it because we're so wrapped up in wanting to hear what we want to hear, or the things that confirm our existing biases. And that's not a left and right thing, by the way. I've mentioned that before. You know, once upon a time, 10 or 15 years ago, you could still make a reasonable argument that this was, you know, this kind of disinformation and use of compliance gaining tactics was something that happened much more on the right than the left. The left sort of by nature tends to drift towards the intellectuals, the academics, the critical thinkers, and so these kinds of techniques tend to be a little less effective. Well, those days are gone, folks. I'm sorry. The folks in my band of the spectrum are just as vulnerable to this kind of manipulation as folks in any other band of the spectrum. Another similar sort of twist on this, again, moving back out of sort of the political, but staying within the social realm. And there was a story about this a few months ago that I caught that I'll talk about in a minute. But you have, again, these all of these Facebook pages and all these Facebook discussion groups. The discussion groups can be particularly bad because they have a feeling more of being less under control, right? And so you will see people pepper their words, their page titles, their group names, with these keywords: liberal, black, Native American, Christian, Jewish, identity groups, right? Women, moms, single dads, grandparents, you know, regional appeals, right? You know, Michiganders or Utahns or Floridians against or for something. And all of these things are deliberately designed to catch your eye and make you go, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm from Florida. I'm whatever, right? I'm black. I'm white. I'm blue. I'm Southern. I'm Northern. I'm a New York Yankee. I'm a Los Angeles, whatever, right? It's an identity group to pull you in and get you paying attention and make you think that you are in a friendly space so that they can bombard you with information that under other circumstances you probably wouldn't be exposed to. You see that a lot. What's that big site? Natural News, right? And they've faded out to a certain extent now. There's one guy that runs that thing, by the way, and he's a huge scam artist. Maybe I'll do a show just about him or him and a couple other people like him at some point in the future. But this guy's whole game is he kicks out like memes and things like this with all these sort of flowery and happy things. And, you know, here's a picture of some woods with a pithy little aphorism pasted over the top of it. And then at the bottom it says Natural News, and it's shared on Natural News or one of the dozens and dozens of other pages administrated by the same guy that pretend to be somebody else, going, oh, check out our friends at Natural News. It's not their friends at Natural News. And the thing is they push that, right? It's mind and body health and so on and so forth. And then all of a sudden, here comes the anti-science stuff creeping in. You're cruising around and you're going through the feed and you go, oh, hey, pretty sunset with a nice little saying over it. Oh, hey, there's a cute little puppy. Oh, hey, you know, anti-vax. What? Where the hell did that come from? Geez, I really like this content. Maybe there's something to this. Oh, and it just happens that this guy is anti-vax, and he's also selling all kinds of supplements and, unregulated pseudo-drugs, hand over fist to people who are, you know, in many ways rightfully so skeptical of, you know, the pharmaceutical industry, of the medical establishment. And the more this sense of outsiderness grows in a population, the easier it is to kind of manipulate you. You see the same thing with, I can't remember the name of the page, but there was a big page a couple of years ago that was just incredibly anti-cop. They hated police, and I'm not a fan of the police myself. I'm about as anti-authoritarian as you can get, and I absolutely will validate all day long questioning the authority of police in general and in specific incidents. But these people would take and pump up these things and push these nonsense narratives and things that didn't happen and so on and so forth. A few years ago, there was a large liberal page owner who doesn't need to be named at this point, but he's come up in conversations related to me before, in his big page that has, you know, a million viewers, and his big website that has all this traffic, and they float this story about I want to say it was an African American waitress that got she was given a tip, and somebody had written a racial slur on the tip line. And don't get me wrong, this is a thing that has really happened. This is a thing that does really happen. It's an ugly world sometimes. But they see this happening and they go, hey, you know what? Every time this happens, somebody starts a fundraiser for the waitress. Let's stage one and make some money. Let's fake it. All right? It's believable, and it sounds like something those bigots would say. It sounds like something that would happen, and it really happened in this other place. So even if we're lying, still the point stands. No, the point doesn't stand. You're a fucking liar. You're ripping people off, right? And now it's become this again, this onion-like layers and layers of meta manipulation, you know? It's like narcissists and gaslighting. It's, they will go out, people who have this mentality, they'll come out and literally just stand there and overtly accuse other people of doing exactly the same things they're doing, exactly the things that they are doing that the people they're attacking aren't doing. And then they'll go, "Oh, well, you see, he's doing it. You see, he's a scammer," right? All this misdirection. Ask yourself, where's the money going? Who benefits? Right? Who benefits from making you question whether or not you really want to vote for Bernie Sanders? Who benefits from making you question whether I'm a scam artist? Right? So in both cases, the answers are fairly obvious. People benefit from running Sanders down, his political opponents and the establishment that he is railing the public against. By the same token, people that engage in these techniques that I'm talking about have a very strong interest in discrediting me, right? Because if you start to understand the things that I am telling you, eventually you start to understand that these people are full of shit and they're jacking you around and they're playing you and they're scamming you, and you stop letting it work. And then they have to go get a real job. Right? So, again, there's so much behavior that can be covered and talked about in this context that sometimes I don't even know where to start with it, to tell you the truth. It's honestly just crazy sometimes with, I mean, it's oh, and here's another great one. The people who will attack somebody for telling the truth, right? And I've made an analogy about this before with abusive family dynamics and addictive family dynamics, right? So dad's a drunk and dad comes home hammered one Friday night or one Tuesday night, little Johnny makes him mad, and dad in a drunken stupor or a drunken rage punches Johnny in the eye. Johnny goes to school. The next day, the teacher sees him with a black eye and calls Child Protective Services. Child Protective Services comes out. Of course, Johnny's afraid to tell them what happened, so he doesn't say anything. And of course, the parents deny it because mom is probably also a victim at the hands of this drunken buffoon. And then they go home, and dad smacks Johnny around some more for telling the family secrets, right? And that's a one big red flag when people start telling you, oh, you've got to keep this under your hat, you've got to keep it a secret, et cetera, et cetera. Start asking questions. Start asking questions, because that tends to be a really big red flag when it comes to attempts to divert, to distract, or to propagandize you. One of my favorite quotes is from Robert Heinlein, a science fiction author. I'm going to try to find it right now while we're talking. In church. The idea is that, as a general principle, secrecy tends to be the beginning of tyranny. Okay? Let me see if I can find it. Doggone it. Oh well, it would help if I could spell right. Yeah, here we go. Let me pull this up. I'm kind of a stickler for trying to get my quotes properly quoted. Yeah, that's not the full quote. Here we are. Okay, so Heinlein gives us this bit of wisdom that is actually the root of a tagline that I used for a long time, right? You cannot be controlled if your mind is free. And that sort of bumper sticker slogan was a condensation of this quote that I'm going to read to you now. Secrecy is the keystone to all tyranny. Not force, but secrecy and censorship. When any government, or any church for that matter, undertakes to say to its subjects, this you may not read, this you must not know, the end result is tyranny and oppression, no matter how holy the motives. Mighty little force is needed to control a man who has been hoodwinked. Contrarywise, no amount of force can control a free man, a man whose mind is free. You can't conquer a free man. The most you can do is kill him. And this speaks again to this just basic notions of manipulation. Oh, it's a secret. Hey, don't tell anybody. Don't spread this around, right? I had a former friend who was a bit of a narcissist and had some pretty serious psychological issues, and he would run just all these kinds of lines. Oh yeah, I really live over here, not where I'm really living at, and everything else. And so it was always, hey man, make sure you back me up on this, make sure you cooperate on this. And after a while you start going, wait a minute, why are you lying to all these people? What difference does it make, right? What's this all about, and are you okay? So you got to stop. You got to keep an eye out for this stuff and be aware of it and be aware of what's going on. And just keep your ears open, man. Trust your gut. If something sounds like bullshit, there's a fairly good chance that there's at least a reason why you think that's the case. Now, a lot of times it could be your own biases, right? A lot of people have already been misinformed. Socialism, there's a beautiful example, right? The word socialism has been so battered and beaten up in this country, and it's stupid, right? Because half of every system in this country is socialized, right? We live largely on socialist principles already. The idea of everybody working together to create a better society for everyone is a socialist notion, and it's also an idea that this country was founded on. But every time the profit interests, the ownership class, what I call the ownership class, the owners, the people who have all the money and all the power, anytime they're under threat by some sort of effort in the public interest, like Social Security, like Medicare, like food stamps, Roosevelt's New Deal or Lyndon Johnson's Great Society, the argument is always, oh, that's socialism. And they know that for a certain segment of the population, that word just by itself is a huge trigger. Oh, socialism, I'm not going to get involved in that. That's the Nazis, blah, blah, blah. And the Nazis were a great example of this, right? Because, of course, the Nazis were nothing like socialists. They were fascists, right? Their socialism was just a welfare program for a certain subset of the general population, that being non-Jewish, straight, white German citizens. Pure Aryans, right? Pure Aryans got socialism, except it wasn't socialism. It was welfare for a certain class, and everybody else can go to hell and burn, and that's literally what happened. And a lot of times I'll run into people like, oh, the Nazis were socialists, and well, yeah, I bet you think the North Korea is a democratic people's republic too, right? And of course, they never questioned that. I got bad news for you about smart water too, right? Just on and on and on, and this again, you're going to hear me as I do these shows, and especially when I'm talking about this kind of manipulation through mass communication, you're going to hear me mention some names repeatedly. One of them is Edward Bernays, Bernays, sorry, no E, B, Bernays, Edward Bernays. He's considered the father of modern advertising. And this was the guy who, started demographic targeting, right? It was his principles that led Pepsi Cola to become a mostly African-American drink to counter Coca-Cola's wholesome, white, clean, upper-middle-class, sparkling, pleasant image. They said, well, they're leaving a gigantic market wide open. Why don't we market to them? And that was Pepsi for you, right? And so for decades, Pepsi was black people's drink. Coke was white people's drink. And all of the nonsense that goes along with that kind of thinking, right? Menthol cigarettes, Kool's especially, was the same thing. I still remember. I'm old enough to remember when you could still see cigarette ads in magazines, right? And it was always Marlboro country. Here's a big, rugged, manly white man with his big fluffy mustache and his big cowboy hat. And then here's Cool Menthols, and that's a picture of a couple of guys in a jazz club, and they all just happen to be African American, wearing the sunglasses and kicking back and being all laid back and probably smoking some of them funny jazz cigarettes, and here's some Cools. And they built their market on that. They built that up. And to this day, it's a fairly consistent pattern among smokers that white people, white men particularly, tend to smoke non-menthol cigarettes, and women and African Americans tend to smoke menthols because they were marketed that way. That whole thing was constructed and shoved down our throats through advertising, right? There's a really great documentary, and I can't remember what it's called now, that pisses me off, but it's about marketing to kids in the early 80s. The Reagan administration changed the rules about how you were allowed to advertise to children. And that's when you started seeing these programs like, He-Man and the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and literally children's programming that was created to sell toys. Before that, the model was you'd have a kid's program, a cartoon or whatever, and then you would sell toys when that cartoon became popular. The demand came first, right? After these changes, you literally had the product first, and then they would create the demand with what amounted to 30-minute commercials for the toys every Saturday morning and every afternoon after school. You got to be armed, man. You've got to have some weapons in your arsenal and some armor to be able to stand there and see through some of this stuff. Appeals to conscience is another excellent tactic that you see all the time on social media, right? I bet nobody will share my picture because I'm not cute. And here's a little puppy dog. I'll share your picture, little puppy dog. You're so cute. Now, all of a sudden, 6 months later, you look on your timeline and you realize that you've signed up for a webpage that's, selling mustard gas or something, Or that's otherwise pushing something you just absolutely would never in a million years actually sign up for. But they hooked you in with that cute little puppy. They hooked you in with, I bet nobody will share this. I'll show them, those cruel bastards. I'll show them. I'll share you, puppy. I'll share you. I'll help you. I think you're cute. They appeal to your better nature. They appeal to what you want to feel good about yourself. You want to have a positive image of yourself. You want to feel like you are out trying to do something nice in the world and being kind, right? One of the ones that I absolutely cannot stand, it pisses me off to no end, is you'll see these pictures of little kids in some kind of horrific medical condition, right? Now, first of all, this is a gross and egregious violation of the privacy rights of those kids, right? A lot of them are like little babies and stuff that have been burned and whatnot that are being used. One like equals one prayer and one share equals amen and blah. And I'm sorry, folks, I really don't want to sit here and make you feel stupid, but you're being manipulated, okay? You're being manipulated. It doesn't mean you're stupid. It probably means you just have a really, really good heart. And, if you're my age or older, you're not used to this barrage of bullshit that has come through and is coming through these social media channels, right? You can't trust anything anymore. And that includes me. I mean, it's a lot of times, you know, some people will say, well, why do you have to blah, 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 tell me all this stuff about yourself? I live in a world, right? It's like cheating on resumes, right? Well, everybody cheats on their resume. People start believing that, and pretty soon hiring managers, if you're not cheating on your resume, you look like crap next to all the other candidates because they're all bullshitting and you're not, right? And that's how we get sucked into it. That's how we end up getting convinced into violating our own integrity. Well, shit, man, if everybody else is lying to get a job, I can't get in unless I do it too. And now you're stuck again. And again, it continues to work, and because now you're guilty, right? Now you're guilty, and now you feel guilty, so now you're a little bit less likely to stand up in somebody else's face when they do it, because they can turn around and go, well, yeah, well, you're a hypocrite. You did the same thing. You know? To bank on people's ego is a pretty safe bet in this world, unfortunately. And I think in terms of social evolution, we're coming to a point where we're starting to learn that we need to let go of some of that stuff. We're starting to learn, I think, that, yeah, sometimes I've got to admit that I was dumb. I was wrong. I got sucked in. I said things that I shouldn't. And this is one of the things, too, that those of us of a certain age can see happening with the Me Too movement. You know, you have all these people coming up and saying, well, this happened and it was wrong. And I'm not at all disputing that so many things have been done over the years that were wrong, right? But I was also a rock musician in the 80s. I have literally been standing at a bar after a show and had a complete stranger just walk up to me and whisper in my ear, offering me some kind of drugs and a good time in a hotel room. If that was a thing to happen today, in 2020, yeah, I'd turn around and be like, you know, who hurt you? Can I get you some help? Do you have a friend here? In 1991, I was going to be in a hotel room and indulging my addictions and you know, doing all the things that rock stars do in hotel rooms. It's not something that I'm proud of. And unfortunately, what happens is a lot of the folks who are, say, you know, 25 and younger, let's say right now, they don't quite get that we lived in a world where we really weren't getting this stuff. It just did not occur to me to think that somebody who comes up to a stranger in a bar offering them drugs and sex might have some fairly serious mental health issues and might be, you know, basically perpetrating a crime against themselves, or inducing you to perpetrate a crime against them. And so these are all things that go back to careful thinking, recognizing that your current context is not what it used to be. We've got to try to be gentle with some of the okay boomers, you know, because these people, you know, it's not that far. I was born in 1970, right? So I started school in 1975. You don't have to go very far backwards from there. 10 years to find a world where all that flag-waving, back-patting, glad-handling bullshit was really taken as gospel. We were so much more naive then than we were even when I went into school. And again, 10 years after that, or 20 years after that, when my daughter started school, we were so much more naive in 1975 than we were in 1995. And we were so much more naive in 95 than we are now. And sometimes I feel like we need to understand, in the process of correcting these problems, in the process of standing up and finally saying, hey, you know what, the casting couch has to go, but there's, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 generations of Hollywood people for whom the casting couch was the way. That's how we do things. Is it wrong? Was it wrong? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But coming to that recognition and getting the wider understanding of it out, and being able to talk about it, and people having the courage to stand up and talk about it and to expose those kinds of things to the light, it wasn't a thing that was happening on a broad basis up until very recently. And so if you're, 25 years old, you've kind of grown up in a world where so-called tolerance and what we call diversity and all these other things have been sort of taken for granted. And we've been taught since the cradle that this is our goal. But if you're 35, it's not really the case. And if you're 45, it's definitely not the case. Right? I mean, when I was, 14, 15 years old, to use certain words and phrases that I don't want to use here because I'm on YouTube and I don't want to get censored when they hear the word and don't hear the context. But there are things that you would say that would be considered complimentary. That, of course, were just ragingly racist and stupid and bigoted, right? He's a good one. Right? That's a compliment. My dad was like that, right? My dad was not a guy who hated black people, but he'd throw that N-word around all the time because that was the context he came up in, and he genuinely did not understand the hurt that caused. He did not understand that hurt people's feelings. And even after we found out that my mom was part black, he didn't stop doing it. Because that wasn't, it's a long story I'll get into some other time, but I found out when I was like 35 that I'm like 164th black, right? Or 132nd. And my dad, it was just part of his vocabulary, right? I'm the same way with the F word. I'm sure at some point during these, live streams, pretty much every show, you're going to hear me say fuck. And I'm sorry, it's not something that I always do intentionally. It just comes out because that's how my brain fills empty spaces while I'm thinking. It's like an to me. And it doesn't cross my mind to think that it's offensive or that it might bother somebody until somebody points it out to me, right? And this is all about growth. It's all about evolution. It's all about understanding how words work. Over the years, of course, like I said, I was born in 1970, so I came up in a world where certain words and language and things like that were socially acceptable. And it wasn't just, anti-black bigotry. It was everybody was a target. The Polish jokes and Irish jokes and Dutch jokes and Italian jokes and Russian jokes. And there's jokes about Turkish people. There's jokes about Iranian people or Middle Eastern people or Muslims or Chinese people or Japanese people. There's just all this kind of, identity, cruelty that goes on. And all of that stuff was just wide open 30 years ago. And it was a good time, right? My dad had a really good friend, Jim, and he was an insurance salesman. He was an incredibly successful insurance salesman. And always, 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 he would have just this never-ending line of they were considered jokes then. Certainly they're not now, because they aren't funny. They're cruel and they pick on people and things like that. And he was incredibly successful, and not just with, the people that were in his social group. Right. I mean, he'd sit there and tell nasty Polak jokes. I don't know if Polak is even a word we're supposed to use anymore, to tell you the truth. But that was the word that was used then for Polish people in the context of those kinds of jokes. Right. And the stereotype there was that the Polish people were stupid. And so you would make jokes about Polaks and it would be something stupid that somebody did. He'd tell this stuff all the time. You have Polish customers just laughing right along with him, buying insurance from him. It's a different world now than it was then. And part of, I think, what we're coming to understand is that a lot of humor is fundamentally cruel, right? A lot of the things that people laugh at are not very nice. A lot of it has to do with other people hurting and other people being in pain and other people making mistakes. And some of that is laughing at ourselves and some of it is laughing at other people, and that's not cool. But again, I've wandered far afield and I apologize for that. It happens sometimes. We are talking about how to spot political fakes online, and all of that stuff that I was just talking about with the identity things, the identity politics, the identity sociology, all that does go back into some of the ways these people reach out, right? Oh, well, I'm a Republican, and I believe it happens on both sides, man. You know, I've been a lifelong Republican, but boy, this Donald Trump, I just don't really see him. Well, it's a special case because Trump is such an egregious asshole, but a lot of that is also, again, political operatives coming out and trying to pull his base away from him, right? And we have to be aware of this stuff, especially if, like with, you know, for me, one of the reasons that I am a Sanders supporter is that I believe that Bernie Sanders is a man of integrity, of very, very strong integrity. He's been very consistent over the years in what he does. And so if somebody can come up and call that into question, that can be really, really devastating, right? And if you can frame it in a way where you can make me believe that you're just like I am, and you kind of came across this and now you're questioning yourself, it doesn't take a whole lot to make me start questioning myself. It's manipulation, it's salesmanship. Seems like there was a couple other points or examples that I wanted to hit here regarding this kind of thing, and now of course they're slipping my mind because I'm live and I'm disorganized. So things will tighten up over time, guys. I really do appreciate it. I see there's people here. I don't know if anybody's chatting in or not, but I see there's people watching, and I do appreciate you dropping in. And things are going to tighten up over time. This is early days. These are kind of the basement tapes of what will eventually be a pretty well-polished product. But I loathe the idea of being a product, too. I don't want to be bought and sold to anybody or from anybody. And unfortunately, again, it's like the resume thing. One of the things, you know, it really irritates me to see constantly, oh, like this and share this and like this and share this. Like and share, like and share, like and share. You got to like and share, like and share, like and share. Hey, like and share my content, like and share my content. I hate seeing that, but you know what? If I don't say it a couple times a day, which I don't, right? But if I don't push that a couple times a day, I don't get the audience. You know? Again, it's the cheating on the resume thing. It's so pervasive that you almost have to do it just to be part of the conversation anymore. Oh, God. Oh, that was the other thing. One of the big points that I wanted to hit, and this was one of the ones that the whole being liberal crowd was real good at. And that's how they built their base up, right? Some of the trouble people that I've had to deal with are the same way, because there's not nearly as many of them as it looks like. But of course it looks like there's thousands, right? So let's just pretend for a minute that I'm an unethical operator and I want to make my show look like it's super boring. Let's say I hire an agent, right? Let's say I hire a publicity agent. What my publicity agent is going to do is he's going to send out a couple of interns to go on social media and roll up 100 or 200 or 300 or 500 accounts. And all day long, those two people are going to be posting stuff to put me over from all those different accounts. So it looks like there's hundreds and thousands of people out there that just love John Henry, when it's really just two people working in an office that I'm paying to pretend to like me, so that you will think, wow, that guy's got a heck of a following. He must be really good. I'll check him out. And, you know, aside from the induced challenges that I've faced, that's one of the reasons why I don't have a bigger audience, is because I don't play those games. Integrity, right? I want to earn my audience honestly. And so that cuts me off from a lot of the easy mode tricks that a lot of these other pages will use. Paid for Facebook advertising is the same way, by the way. There was an expose on that 3-4 years ago now. If you pay for Facebook advertising, you'll see a huge spike in your page numbers right away, right? Just all of a sudden you'll get all these likes, but then it turns out that they're all fake accounts, Right? And I'm not too sure that's not one that Facebook is pulling themselves just to make it look like your advertising dollar was useful, you know? And is it? Man, I mean, if I can convince you that there's 500,000 people who think I walk on water, and then you come to believe that, and then you start telling people, eventually the lie becomes the truth. And this was something that I was trying to warn people about back like 10 years ago when all the bullshit started with Addicting Info and all those guys was, you know, if you let this slide, if y'all fall for this, 5, 10 years from now, you're not going to be able to get away from it. And sure enough, now you're looking at a world where, I mean, what, Occupy Democrats got 8 million people following them or something like that. It worked. It worked. We got sucked in. People I know, maybe some people who are watching this show right now, are going to go, okay, yep, you're totally right, JH. And then 3 hours from now, they'll be sharing a meme from Occupy Democrats or one of these other groups that just does nothing but kick out these kind of bias confirmation pandering sorts of content just to keep eyeballs on their stuff and keep their brand name in people's minds, which is a profitable thing. It builds the brand. And so again, all the way through, all the way through, all the way through, what we are talking about is manipulation for somebody's benefit. Somebody is trying to stack the deck in their own favor, and they're doing so dishonestly. Why does that matter? I'm gonna hit on this, and then we're gonna go ahead and get out of here because I see it's coming up on the hour. So, one of the things I've gotten into, I've lost friends over this, right? People will post a fake quote. As a matter of fact, that was one of the things that I ran into a couple of days ago, right? There's a fake Donald Trump quote that goes around about how if he ever runs for president, he'll run as a Republican because they're all stupid, right? He never said that. Never ever said that. And yet it was yesterday. I was in one of these birding groups and somebody posted that. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. You know, it's not doing us any good to push this. All this does is validate Donald Trump when he says fake news and they lie about me. You're doing that. Now he's right. You just made him right. And they go, but I saw the tape. I watched that interview myself. I posted that video to my Facebook page and they took it down. The internet's been scrubbed of that video to make it look like it never happened. And you're defending Donald Trump. Horseshit. I wouldn't defend Donald Trump for any reason ever in the world. What I'm defending is truth. It doesn't serve the interests of honorable, ethical, and decent people to start stooping to those games. Okay? If you've got a lie, shut up. If you can't sell whatever it is you're trying to sell, whether it's an idea or a product, without lying to people about it, you don't have something that people are going to buy. You need to get into a different line of work. Right? And the big danger is, especially when you've got a candidate like Sanders who is kind of trying to set himself above that behavior and be better than that, is as soon as you start playing that, now everybody he has criticized gets turned around and go, ha, you did it too. You did it too. You have no credibility. Now, not only have you destroyed your own credibility, but you've also validated that technique. You've made it okay. And that's why it's not okay. You share a fake quote. Well, it sounds like something he'd say. I understand satire and parody. That's a whole different conversation. But when you're putting something over as legitimate and it's not, right? There was a, I can't even remember what in the world the name of the page was. I think it was Stop the World the Teabaggers Want Off, might have been. But they got to a point where all they did was cranked out memes with fake quotes on them, and these quotes would circulate around, and people would believe them. And you'd say, well, hey, wait a minute. That person didn't say that, and you're really just hurting your cause by propagating it. They go, well, it sounds like something they'd say. Well, you know what? If you're too fucking lazy to go out, get off your ass and find a real quote that proves that that's something they'd say, shut up and go home. All you're doing is making yourself look like a lying ass. You know? You gotta operate above board. It doesn't matter what the other guys are doing. It doesn't matter if somebody else is playing dirty pool. You play clean and beat them anyway. That's how you beat that stuff. That's how you stand against that stuff. You don't have to be a dick about it, right? But be firm. And as I went through that with this guy with the Trump quote. He went back and forth for an hour and a half or 2 hours with me just swearing up and down. And I'm like, here's PolitiFact. Here's Snopes. Here's CNN. Here's AP. Here's Fox. Here's Reuters. Here's the Encyclopedia Britannica. Here's People Magazine, where the quote was alleged to have come from, saying, no, this never happened. And you're still going to sit there and insist that it did. And that's that ego thing that I was talking about before, right? And hilariously, this guy's actually bringing out, I mean, you've probably heard of this Mandela effect. I prefer to think of it as the Berenstain effect, right? Because you'll see people talking about it, the Berenstain Bears, right? Well, I thought it was Berenstein, E-I-N, but it was A-I-N. Was there a warp in the fabric of the time-space continuum? Did we all slide into an alternate universe? No, we misremembered, and it became a cultural misremembrance. Right? And so now you have people who just barely start to catch on to those ideas, and they will actually use them to validate their own false memories, like this guy did. And it was hilarious. I had somebody actually telling me, well, I had the tape and I posted it. I posted a clip of Donald Trump saying exactly that, and they took it down. Facebook hit it. It's gone. It just disappeared one day. Now, you're either lying or you need professional help, because that didn't happen. Couldn't have, right? The human mind is a funny thing, man. We can believe a lot of crazy shit if we think it's in our best interest, especially if we think it'll save our butts. If we're under threat, if it makes us feel safe to believe something, it's really hard to make us unbelieve it. And if we have to face the possibility that we've been had, that we've been a sucker for something, we don't like that either. And we will fight, and we will kick, and we will scratch. And unfortunately, some people will literally lie through their teeth to themselves to hold on to that idea that they're right. And here, you know, so now here you sit. I'm in a conversation with a guy posting a fake quote, and it's not just him. It's several other people coming along behind him, swearing on their mother's grave that they watched that interview, right? So here we go. The rumor, the fake quote with Donald Trump, right, the thing about running as a Republican because they're all stupid, when that originated, it was probably halfway through Obama's term when I first started seeing it, but originally it was being put over as a People magazine quote, right? Supposedly something that Donald Trump had said in an interview that was printed in People magazine. Nobody ever claimed that it was a videotaped interview. Nobody ever made the claim that this was something that was shown on television or that there was any, you know, recorded evidence of. But now you've got people who are so invested in believing in this that they believe they have seen the tape that nobody ever said existed in the first place. We watched the same thing, by the way. We watched the same thing with the impeachment, right? Here's Donald Trump going, well, yeah, I did exactly what they said I did. I just don't think it was illegal. I don't think it was wrong. I think I had a right to do that. But his followers insisted and continue to insist to this day that he didn't do it. He never made that phone call. He never said those things, even though he himself has openly admitted multiple times on camera that he did. Our brains are funny places, and in order for us to be able to keep our heads above water and hold on to the blessings of liberty that were secured for ourselves and our posterity by those who came before us, we need to understand how our brains work and how we can be fooled by this behavior. So I know this was kind of a rambly thing, a rambly show tonight, and I apologize for that. And I'm 5 minutes over my time as it is. I'm going to go ahead and shut up and get on. And You've got my thing. You know what I'm up to. You can see all the links down there below. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Facebook. The Patreon link is not up yet. It will be up soon, but I figured I might as well put it on there while I was making the graphic. Like the Facebook page, all that good stuff. Subscribe here. I thank everybody for watching. And I nearly forgot. This is all becoming a podcast now as well. So if you swing by johnhenry.us on any of the article pages in the left sidebar, you'll see a little section there that says podcast. You can find me on Spotify. You can find me on Stitcher. You've got me on Play for Android, and I am also working on getting on Pandora and iHeartRadio and a couple of other outlets as well. Maybe that'll come through. Maybe it won't. I don't know yet. It's in some cases an 8 to 10 week process. So, but in the meantime, I am turning all these shows into podcasts and publishing them on my site. Feel free to subscribe and tell all your friends and all that good stuff. And just stay armed, man. Keep your eyes open. Stay aware of how you can be manipulated. And I am going to continue trying to get this done without engaging in those tricks. I don't want to do that. I don't think it's necessary to do that. I hope I live in a world where it is possible to succeed without being completely full of shit, and without lying to people, and without manipulating people, and without buying people. That's the world that I'm going for, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. And so, even though I'm just not having the greatest of days, and this was not the greatest of shows by any stretch of the imagination, the general themes that we've talked about here are things that are going to continue coming up. And hopefully, as I'm able to get more organized and get this into a smoother process and all that other stuff, I'll be able to present you with material that is more useful for you to share. I am also in the process of trying to break out highlight reels in little 2-3 minute segments of stuff and get that shared out for people who don't want to sit for an hour and watch. You can shoot short videos around and all that good stuff. So lots of things in the works, and I'm doing the best I can. You know, it's just me, my microphone, and a webcam, and doing what I can, and it's up to all of you to help me make sure that I can keep doing it and get better at doing it, or get the equipment to do it better as time goes by. So thanks a whole lot once again. Y'all have a great night. Take care of yourselves. Everything you can. I will be back tomorrow, and hopefully tomorrow I'll have a little bit less manic a day. My mental health situation hasn't been the greatest today. I've been kind of, it's been hard to focus. It's been hard to get things lined up and done and in a neat row so that I could present a nice clean show, which I did not do today, and I apologize for that. But thanks a whole lot for listening anyway. Love y'all. Take care of yourselves, and we will see you tomorrow night at 8 p.m.